Dear Father in heaven, we thank you that we can talk to you. We thank you that you hear our prayers. We thank you that you're a God that created us, and we thank you for the opportunity to serve you on this earth. We pray that tonight as we read your word that you would speak to us, that you'd make it clear what your word says, and that you would help us to listen to what it is that you would have us learn. So we pray that you'd help us to concentrate and help us to learn something new about you. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to read from chapter 14 of the book of John. We're just going to read seven verses, so from the verse 1 through to verse 7. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Now Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So that's the passage you're going to be looking at tonight. As always, you've got some questions, save them up to the end, and Ken will answer them, as I always say. No, all right. I say that and then no one asks any questions, so it gets out every time. But so we're going to look at this statement tonight about Jesus saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Okay, what exactly does that mean, and how is it relevant to us? So, I'm going to start just by giving a bit of background where we're at this point in the story, and then we'll continue on to what that statement means. And I'll apologise if I lose my place. I forgot my other laptop, so I'm preaching from my phone. But luckily it's about the size of a tablet, so I should be right. So Jesus had been teaching these disciples for a couple of years now, at this point in the story here. But things were drawing to a close. So he was started to talk about his death and what was going to be happening next. He talked about how he would die and how he would rise again after 3 days. And in particular, we saw here, he said that he would be going away from them. Now, they naturally were rather upset. You know, he's been with them for 3 years, teaching about the kingdom of God, teaching them about how they can have a relationship with God. And now he's saying, hey, I'm going away and I'm not going to be with you anymore. Now they said, oh, we want to go with you. But for now, that wasn't possible. Peter, particularly in the verses prior to this, said, hey, you know, I really want to follow you. And Jesus said, well, hang on a sec. You'll come one day, but not today. You've got some work to do. He said, you know, before the night is out, you'll actually deny me before men 3 times. And if you've read much of the Bible stories, you'll remember that from later on where the rooster crowed when Peter denied Jesus 3 times. And this was actually where Jesus predicted right before here. So Jesus comes on and says, look, don't let your heart be troubled. He says, he goes on and tells them what he's going to be doing in heaven or where he's going. So we get a bit of a glimpse of what Jesus is actually doing right now this second. Jesus says, in my Father's house there are many rooms or mansions, and I go to prepare a place for you. So if you've ever wondered where Jesus is today, what is he doing? He's currently preparing a place in eternity for all of those who believe in him. There's plenty of room for everyone to turn away from their sins and be with Jesus forever. So there's no shortage, there's no set amount of people that can come. There's enough room there for everyone to turn away and believe in Jesus and spend eternity with him. And here he says that if he's preparing a place for us, then he most certainly will come back and get us. He talks more about it in the book of Revelation, about how he will remake the world anew and how he will cleanse this world of all the sin and guilt and pain and tears. Now, before we get too excited about that and go, great, you know, things are pretty tough at the moment, I'd be looking forward to that. Before we get too excited, too ahead of ourselves, we need to find out how to actually get there. You know, Jesus says, where I go, you know, and the way you know. Okay? Now, Thomas, in the very next passage, Thomas, in the very next passage, says, oh, hang on, Lord, we don't know where you're going. We don't know how to get there. So he's quite naturally confused, saying, we haven't really talked about this before. How are we going to go and be where you are? And Thomas says, I like all this stuff about you preparing a place, but how can we go and live with you? You haven't said how to get there. Now, it might not have been immediately obvious, but Thomas was actually asking a question that many of us ask today. So for me, growing up in a non-Christian household, I didn't go to church. I did, however, believe in God, because that's just what everyone did. Everyone believed in God. They used to, anyway. Now, if you'd asked me where I was going when I die, I would have told you I was going to heaven. If you asked me how I was getting there, I wouldn't have had an answer for that. So many people today think that they're actually going to heaven, but they don't ask the question that Thomas asked. Hey, Lord, how do we get there? You know, you talk about heaven, but how do we get there? At the moment, you haven't made it clear. So when people just say, yeah, I'll go to heaven, do they know how you're going to get there? Well, how can we know the way? And Jesus actually answers that question in this statement, and he actually answers two others that we're going to look at tonight. First big question that Jesus answers is, how do you get to heaven? All right? So let's go, well, all right, hang on a sec. Let's go back a step. Who here likes coffee?
Yes.
All right, hands up if you like coffee. Everyone knows I like coffee. All right. Yeah, Simeon, you're too young. Did you know, here's an interesting fact for you, that 100% of people who don't drink coffee die? Did you know that? 100% of people who don't drink coffee die. So what happens to those who don't drink coffee? And for that matter, what happens to those who do drink coffee? What happens to you when you die? All right. Interestingly, as you know, even those who do drink coffee also die. All right. So we all die, both coffee drinkers and non-coffee drinkers. We all die. But what happens? Okay. The Bible makes it clear that we will have to answer for our life. When we stand in front of our Maker, our Creator, we will have to give an account of this life. It'll become very clear just how short we have fallen from the standard that God has set for us. This perfect standard cannot be reached. Like a good and faithful judge, our Creator will meter out justice for all the injustice in this world, for all the disobeying of the rules that God, our Creator, set up for us, His creation. So we come back to talking about heaven again. How will we get there? If all my acts and thoughts and deeds will be judged, I know I have no chance of making the cut. I certainly fall short of the rules that God has set for me. So now we see Thomas's question has a bit more behind it. He knew all this backstory, so he's actually saying, hold on a sec, it's great that you go and prepare a place for us, but what about my sin? What about the stuff that separates me from God? How are we going to get around the whole disobeying thing, how I've been living my own life and ignoring God? How do we actually get there? Jesus says, I am the way. He says, I am the way to heaven. I am the only way. And he goes on to say, no one comes to the Father except through me. He says, I am the way that your sins will be dealt with. I am the way that you can be with me and my Father forever. Don't you get it? Jesus says, I was sent to pay for your sins. I was sent so that you can be with us, Him and the Father, forever. There is no way you can get yourself to heaven. Jesus is the only way. Now, before Thomas could ask any more questions, Jesus also puts two other questions to rest. He says, you know, not only am I the only way, the only way, but I am also the truth. So he tackled postmodernism right here when, you know, people go around saying, what is truth? How can we know what is true? What is true for you might not be true for me. Jesus responds not by saying, what I say is true. He doesn't say that. He says, I am truth. I am the truth. All right? I am your creator. I created you. I created everything around you. This is truth. I am truth. What I say is truth. What I do is truth. There is no more debate. There is no more objective and subjective readings of texts, and what I say is truth. I am the way and I am the truth. There is no other way to heaven. There is no way that is right for one but not right for another. This is pretty exclusive. All right? Jesus, the truth, dares to say all other religions are wrong. This There is one way, one truth. Now, that's nice and controversial, but he is the creator. He came down to earth. He performed hundreds of miracles. He did things and knew things that only God could. He rose from the dead, and hundreds of witnesses saw him. This is our God reaching down for us. He is giving us a definitive way to heaven. You don't need to search any longer wondering what is true. You don't need to wonder, will that truth work for me? Which religion is right? How do I get to heaven? This is how. No other religion can claim that God himself came down in a person and provided a way to get to heaven. Christianity is exclusive in this regard. Other religions, Buddhism, Islam, Hindu, Sikh, they all talk about what you can do to reach heaven, enlightenment, nirvana, whatever. It's about you. They're the religion that lifts us up and our own personal ability to save ourselves. Christianity is the only religion that is about God. All right, it is not about us. As humans, we don't like to hear that very much because we like to talk about ourselves and we think that if anyone's going to do some saving around here, it's going to be me, right? But if you think about it, it makes sense. If it was that easy that we could all save ourselves, we would have all done it. Or countless people would have done it and told us how. It really does make sense that God himself, if he is so pure, would have to reach down to us and provide a way that we can be with him. Christianity is a religion that says you aren't good enough. There is literally nothing that you can do about your sin, about where you are in life. You cannot do anything about it. So God provided a way. He sent Jesus. This is the truth. He is the way. The very last question he answers is the answer to death. I've said before in some of our previous talks, but you know that death isn't natural. It doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel right that someone should go through their life gaining knowledge and experience and then just like that die. It all just ends. That's not the way it was meant to be. This is the biggest question of all. What happens when we die? What is there after death? I already talked about that a little bit earlier about heaven and the new earth, but Jesus makes a statement here that he is the life. He is the only way to have life forever. He is the only way for death to not be a permanent state for us. He is the only way, he is the only truth, and he is the only way to have eternal life, the only way for death to be temporary. So if you've ever wondered, how do I get to heaven? How do I know what is true? How do I not die? Jesus is the answer to each of these big life questions. Jesus came down from heaven, did hundreds of miracles, showed himself to hundreds of witnesses. He proved himself as God. He showed that he is the only way to heaven, he is the only truth, and he is the only way to conquer death. Believe in Jesus. Believe that he came to die for your sins. He came to die for my sins. He came so that each of us could not die and be in heaven with God for all eternity. So I implore you to make the decision today. If you die without knowing Jesus, if you die not knowing the way, you will end up having to take the burden of the punishment for your own sins. You will be in heaven forever. That's what the Bible says. It might sound a little harsh, but that's the justice we deserve for our continued disobedience to our Creator. He provided a way for us to not go to hell. You just have to take Jesus up on that offer. You don't have to give money. It's not about following a bunch of rules. You just need to acknowledge your sin before Jesus, ask for forgiveness, and turn away from it. Now, if you're a Christian already, this is a great reminder that you will go and be with Jesus forever. You will spend eternity with him in heaven. Let that encourage you when you face tough life situations, when you're persecuted for your faith, when you're struggling with the burdens of life. There is an end. Be encouraged as you have taken hold of the only way, the only truth, and the only one who can give you eternal life. Amen.